So if you will, please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4. If you're using one of the pew Bibles, it's on page 864. And if you're in your own Bible, John 4, we're going to start with verse 5. And we'll go to verse 15 this morning. If you can and are able, I invite you to stand in honor and in reverence of the reading of the gospel lesson this morning. John 4. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and this well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become to them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So today's passage is part of a larger passage that for those of you who have been in church for a long time, you're probably familiar with. The woman at the well, or the Samaritan woman at the well. But today I want to take a look at this from a different angle. I don't know about you, but every time I start just chewing on passages in God's Word that I've heard since I was a child, it's amazing how something different can come out of it if we'll take the time to let the Holy Spirit work. So over kind of the last few weeks, this is what God's been revealing to me. So first, let's talk about who this lady is. First, she's a Samaritan. Couldn't be any worse for the Jews to be associating with Samaritans. She's coming to get water at noon. I can't speak for Sychar because I've never been there, but around here at noon, it's pretty warm. And so if I've got to carry something heavy or do a lot of work, I either want to get it done really early in the morning or right before it gets dark. It's cooler out. Most women would go in the morning to get their water. Doesn't tell us this, but the historical aspects of this lady's going at noon, because she knows nobody else will be there. Now, why in the world would she be going when she knows nobody else will be there? Well, if we keep reading the passage, Jesus tells us why. She has five husbands. And then there's this other sixth guy that she's with that's not even a husband. I don't think she had a lot of friends in her community. I doubt the women wanted to talk to her a whole lot. Think about, y'all go to these places and get your hair did. Isn't that what y'all call it? Get your hair did? Yeah, some of you are shaking your head. Some of you are telling me no. You get your hair done. I'll be grammatically appropriate since we're online. Apparently, that's a good place to tell what's going on in town. But then somebody might come in and the story stop. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, that's this lady. That's who we're looking at today. So I want to ask you to do something that might be a little bit uncomfortable. Let's pretend to be this lady and look at this story a little differently. So as she's approaching this well in the heat of the day, there's a Jewish man. Great. As if things couldn't be worse, now I've got to talk to a Jew. Not only is he sitting there, he speaks to her. He says this, "Give me something to drink." Now we see that Jesus is tired, but we all know Jesus didn't need anything to drink. For if Jesus had needed something to drink, he could have got it himself. But he knows by starting a conversation with this woman, he's going to have the opportunity to change her life. Because see, the story doesn't tell us this either, but if you go back and you look at the map and where they're coming from to where they're going, there's other ways to get there. They did not have to go through this Samaritan village. Jesus went there to change somebody's life. And he props himself up at the well. And she basically says, "Sir, you have no bucket." So essentially what she's asking Jesus or saying is Jesus is offering her this wonderful water that prevents you from being thirsty, and Jesus has no bucket. She's basically asking, "Where's your bucket? How do you get this water?" So Jesus goes on to tell her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him and he would have given you living water." And eventually through their conversation, she decides this is what she wants. These are the two reasons she gives: so that she'll never be thirsty, and so she'll never have to come back to the well. So that she'll never be thirsty, a human condition. And so she'll never have to come back to the well to where she is reminded of her failures and her inadequacies in life, a social condition. She goes on a little later and she says, yeah, I get all the, I know the Messiah is one day coming. Jesus loved this unnamed Samaritan woman with five husbands and an affair with a sixth enough to say, "I am he. I'm the Messiah." Very rarely does Jesus reveal who he is to people this early in his ministry, but he shares it with this lady, a Samaritan. Five husbands and a sixth person. Let's look at, if you still have your Bibles open, let's look at verses 28 through 30. "Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, 'Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?' They left the city and were on their way." Now, folks, let's think for a minute. This lady went all that way in the heat of the day, and she's wondering where Jesus' bucket is. And then here she goes running back to her town. Everybody knows her. Imagine Welford, but smaller. Everybody knows her reputation. If I saw her running, the first thing I would ask is, "Where's her bucket?" She always goes at this time to get her, "Where's her bucket?" And they obviously see something different about her because they follow her. They go with her back. They go back to see Jesus with her. So then we go to verses 39 through 42. See, I was going to read all this and make y'all stand up, but I'm just going to break it down. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I'd ever done." So that when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." And that's normally the point of this message. Is, man, when Jesus makes a difference in our lives, other people should see it, and he should make a difference in theirs. But that's not the point of this message. The point of the message is, where is your bucket? See, I don't know about you. But my bucket represents my life. That bucket represented that lady's life. And we fill it up with all our obligations and all the things we have to do, our families, our jobs, our financial concerns, the comments people make us about on Facebook and Twitter, the grief we still deal with, the unkind things in our heart towards other people, the disagreement on how something should be done at the church, the anger because somebody parked in your parking spot, the double anger because the same person sat in your pew. Don't look at me like that's not going on. I've been in church my whole life. The unkind things that a family member says about you. The heartbreak from a child. The heartbreak from a parent. The heartbreak from an illness or a disease. The heartbreak because you just can't stand being in school anymore. The heartbreak because of the sin in your past. The heartbreak because of who people think you are. The heartbreak. The unworthiness. All the junk fills up our bucket. I met with my accountability partner 2 weeks ago and we started talking about this passage, this woman, the love that she received. And I was sharing with, I'm just going to be honest with y'all for a minute. I'm going to have to go take this out in case anybody hears it. But I'm going to be very transparent with you. I'm going to take my pastor role off and I'm going to talk to you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I sat there and I looked at him and we talked and we laughed and we think. And here's what he said to me. He said, I know you need to go pick up your son, but how is it with your soul? He went John Wesley on me. I said, man, you know I love you, but you didn't have to ask me that. Because it's not very good. I'm fed up with school. I'm fed up with this. I'm fed up with that. And you know what he asked me? He says, when's the last time you let Jesus fill your bucket? He said, when's the last time you let your Savior fill your bucket and not the world? And my bucket was just like this. My Bible, my Christ, my Savior wouldn't fit in it because I had too much in it. Because I'm trying to get water. I'm trying to get fulfilled. I'm trying to get thirst because of all these things. Y'all do the same thing. It's not just me. The opinions of others, our lives, they fill up our bucket. And we can't even spend a couple of minutes a day with the Savior that died on a cross for us. I had sat there in that restaurant, and it was all I could do not to cry. And this guy's bigger than me. And he wrapped his arm around me, and he prayed one of the boldest prayers I've ever heard right there where everybody could see. Unashamed of the gospel, Paul said. He said, Andrew, your bucket's so full with all this mess, you're missing the fact that you're a son of the Most High King. That Christ died and rose again to give you life abundantly. That lady showed up to fill her bucket and it was full already. She was coming to get water and she could have got water out of that well, but that bucket, the bucket of her heart was so full of unworthiness. It was so full of other people's opinions. It was so full of this Jewish man judging her. And Jesus said, if you'll trust me enough to empty your bucket, I'll give you something that nobody can ever take away. I'll give you something that'll leave you never thirsty again. And he's the only one that has the power and the authority to do such a thing. And so for the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to figure out how do I make room in my bucket so that Christ can fill my heart. Because what I had to admit to him was, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I read my Bible 14, 15 hours a week. And I really do. For school. For sermon prep. I don't know about you, but I'm 32. I get that's young for some of you. And we've been through some ups and downs in our lives. And I've got two kids, and I'll admit I'm stubborn. You don't have to tell me that. And I'm set in my ways. You don't have to tell me that. I've lived with me longer than you have. You've only known me for 28 months. The only person that's known me longer than I know myself is my mom, and she got 7.5 months extra on me. And my twin sister, but that's a different story. We were in the womb together, and so she knows me pretty good, but that's another sermon. But you know, when I talk to my mom, and she says something to me as if I was a little child, a little 8-year-old boy, and my heart still smiles. When my dad calls and he says, "Son, I heard your sermon, or even your silly little Gamecock show, or whatever it is," and he says, "I just want you to know I'm proud of you." My heart smiles as if I was Logan. Our Father looks down and he says, "My son, my daughter, my child, I love you. And if you'll empty your bucket and fill up on me, then all the other junk can be put away." In just a moment, we're going to sing this song, but I've read this song and read this song this week because I can't sing. Because there's sometimes in our lives where we're not sure of a whole lot. And that lady wasn't sure of a whole lot when she got to that well, and she wasn't sure of a whole lot when she left, but she was sure of this. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Church, hear these words. Heir of salvation. Purchase of God. Born of his spirit. Washed in his blood. You know what an heir is? I know most of you do, but maybe some of our people don't. An heir is somebody who's going to inherit something from their, most likely their parents or their grandparents. Well, this song tells us the biblical truth that we are heirs of salvation because of Christ. That we were purchased by God. It cost God something valuable to purchase me, to purchase you. We've been born of his spirit, and we've been washed in his blood. And see, we sing these songs as quick as we can so we can get to lunch. But the chorus of this says, "This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long." It's time that this becomes our story. It's time that this becomes our song. And that regardless of where we are, regardless of what's going on in our life, the world doesn't get our buckets. The Savior gets our buckets. Let's pray.